And
what happens is that the conduction fan bends, and the valence fan bends, so that you get a constant chemical potential everywhere. And far to the left, if we're away from the junction, we come back to the case that we had before. This is just a p-type semiconductor over here on the left. And far to the right, we have a situation that looks just like an n-type semiconductor, that the chemical potential is close to the conduction band. And in the middle, the chemical potential goes near the center of the band gap. And when it's near the center of the band gap and you plug it into these formulas for N and P, you find out that the concentration of both of them is pretty low, because the chemical potential is far from the conduction band and it's far from the valence band. And it looks a lot like an intrinsic semiconductor, an undoped semiconductor. And maybe that's not so surprising that you start with N and you make the transition over to P, and in between it looks like it's not doped at all. An undoped semiconductor is a bad conductor. There are hardly any charge carriers in it. Okay. What happens in this case is that here on the P side, there's a large concentration of holes. And on the N side, there's a low concentration of holes. And the holes diffuse from large concentration to small concentration. And when they diffuse, then positive charge moves from P to N, and the holes leave their acceptor atoms behind, which are stuck in the crystal. And so the P side becomes negatively charged, and the N side becomes positively charged from these holes that are diffusing over here. And on the N side, there's a high concentration of electrons, and they see a low concentration over on the P side, so the electrons diffuse the other way. The electrons diffuse to the left, and that makes the P side negatively charged, and the electrons abandon their donor atoms, which are positively charged then, and so N becomes positive charge. So the diffusion in both directions causes N to be positive charge, holes coming to it, electrons going away from it, and the P side to be negatively charged, electrons coming to it, holes going away from it. And an electric field then gets established from N to P, pointing from positive to negative. And this electric field is pushing the holes back into P. So they're trying to diffuse away, but so many have diffused away, it's established an electric field. And this electric field is pushing them back towards where they belong. The same electric field pointing towards P pushes the electrons back the other way, because the electrons are negatively charged, so an electric field in this direction pushes the electrons that way. So an electric field is established that pushes the carriers back to their the side that they belong, and there is, at zero bias voltage, there's a diffusion current flowing from P towards N, and a drift current going from N to P. So drift is this kind of current where you apply an electric field and you get carrier velocity from the electric field that's applied. So the drift current is pushing them back, and these two currents balance each other. At zero bias, there's no total current, but there's a diffusion current balanced by a drift current. And this bend in the band occurs in the region where there's a finite electric field, because if there's an electric field, then for the charge carriers, there's a change in potential. On this plot, the vertical direction is energy, and the electrons see a potential that goes uphill for them here. The electric field is pushing them back this way. And you can then calculate this potential, and if you integrate over the electric field from this region out here where the electric field is zero, and over here the electric field is also zero. If you integrate over this region, then there's a voltage difference, there's an energy difference between the valence band edge on the left side and the valence band edge on the right side. And it's the same energy difference on the of the conduction band. So what we want to do now is calculate this energy difference. It's called VVI, and VI is for built-in. So there's a built-in voltage, built-in, like that. There's an electric field that spontaneously arises at a p-n junction. It's not an electric field that can do any work. So you you can't say, oh, there's an electric field, I'll attach wires and get a current to flow externally. It's not an electric field that will do any work. If you try to get it to do work, like this, we have p and here n, and the p is negatively charged, and if you had a piece of semiconductor like this, there would be negative charges along the edge, and there should be positive charges at the surface here. And then there's also positive charges here and negative charges there. And in the middle of these two, it's neutral. There's no electric field. They're conductors, both the n-type and the p-type. Our conductors right here at the interface between the two, the carriers have been depleted. There's the chemical potential is far from the conduction band, is far from the valence band. So the when that happens, the electrons aren't in this region, and the holes are not there either. And they abandoned the donor and acceptor atoms, which were put there, and these can't move. So you get these positive charges are abandoned donor atoms, and these negative charges are abandoned poles that have abandoned their acceptors. And there's an electric field that's pointing like this. And we take an electron and we attach wires, or let's not attach wires. I'll just take it through the air. All right. I can attach wires later, but it's a little more complicated with the wires. But we take an electron and we try to bring it once around to see if it can perform any work. And so here, when the electron goes from N to P, we have to perform work to get the electron from here to there. But then now there are also electric field lines on the outside. So the electric field lines on the outside are pointing this way, because they're going from positive to negative. And if you try to take an electron on a round trip from here through this electric field, go outside, you have to push against this electric field. Now it goes downhill. So here, with an electron, you'd have to push against the electric field. And then here, it just goes downhill to bring you back. When you go once around the entire circuit, you perform no work. And it doesn't really change the situation when you add wires to it. So there's an electric field, but not one you can use to perform work. However, if you let a photon come in, like in a solar cell, and the photon generates an electron hole pair by taking an electron out of the valence band, putting it up into the conduction band, the hole will be pushed by this built-in field towards P, and the electron will get pushed towards N, and you get burned out of it. But then it's obvious where the energy comes from. It comes from the photon. The photon generates a pair in the middle of an electric field, and the field separates them, and that will be pushing holes towards P and electrons towards N, and then you can connect the wire and get a current out of it. Okay. So I wanted to calculate this VVI. And I know from my last slide, I know the distance between the chemical potential and the conduction band edge on the N side, and the difference between the chemical potential and the valence band edge on the P side. So, but because I also know the band gap is the difference between the conduction band edge and the valence band edge, I also know the difference between the valence band edge and the chemical potential on the N side. That is the band gap from one to the other minus this distance. And the distance between the conduction band edge and the chemical potential I had on the last slide. So here is the the valence band plus the band gap is the conduction band edge, minus KBT log of these two is tells me this distance. And then I subtract the difference between the valence band edge and the chemical potential on the P side. And this will give me a BVI. So how I get BVI is that I calculate this, and I subtract this part. And I have an expression that looks like this. And the valence band edge cancels out. And then I've got two terms with logarithms. They both say minus KBT logarithm of something. And the sum of two logarithms like that can be written as the product of what's inside. So I take these two and combine them into this. These valence band edges are canceled, and the band gap comes down. And then I can simplify this a little bit more if I recognize that the this band gap energy can also be written as something that looks like minus KBT times the log of something. It comes from this law of mass action. So here in the law of mass action, I've got the band gap, and I can put these things on the other side and take the logarithm and solve for the band gap. And when I do, I get something else that looks like minus KBT times the log of something. And so I put this also in the same form, and I can combine it again. And in the end, it results in this energy, E times the VVI, is KBT times the log of the dopants on the N side, the dopant concentration on the N side, the dopant concentration on the P side, divided by the intrinsic chiral concentration squared. And on this page, I made a little bit of a jump in notation that everybody does. Now, ND on the N side is the residual donor concentration. I've subtracted from it the acceptors. I didn't say it's on the N side, it's the donor's concentration minus the acceptor concentration. It's the net donor concentration that you get on the N side. And NA here is the net acceptor concentration on the P side. Okay, so we can calculate this this built-in voltage, and it depends linearly on temperature, and it also depends on the doping concentration.